Hi, I'm Marty Kozwanis here on location at Inglewood Memorial Park in LA. How would you like to meet Robert Kardashian, the man who planted the seed that sprung into a reality television show?
I love that.
I thought you would. For the first time since his death, Robert Kardashian will bring us up to date on his life, answer questions from viewers regarding his family, and tell us for the first time what was really in the Louis Vuitton bag that was given to him by his best friend O.J. Simpson.
I also have an Armenian recipe to share.
It's all on the next episode of Over My Dead Body. Hello, I'm Marty Kozwanis, and this is Over My Dead Body, the only talk show that features the most interesting people that ever lived. Today, we are in Hollywood, California, at Inglewood Memorial Park, where famed attorney Robert Kardashian has taken up residence. Come on, let's go talk to him. As you all know, Kardashian was O.J. Simpson's best friend, lawyer, personal advisor, confidant, business partner, and tennis buddy. He was also the father of Courtney, Kim, Chloe, and Rob, and you all know who they are.
I also founded a frozen yogurt company.
We'll get to that. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kardashian.
Robert.
Okay, Robert. First off, I want to thank you for coming on our show. I realize this is the only interview you've agreed to since your death in 2003.
That's right. But I felt it was necessary to correct a number of things that have been reported about me and my family.
A lot of people, when they hear the name Robert Kardashian, immediately think of your daughters or O.J. Simpson. But for the people who may be ignorant to your importance in world history, can you start by telling our audience a little about yourself, your upbringing, where you were born, that sort of thing?
Sure. I was born in L.A. My dad was rich and I was a spoiled kid. He owned a meatpacking company, the largest in Southern California. As a result, I did drugs and screwed a bunch of girls and went to college and did more drugs and screwed more girls. Then I went to law school because I heard that being a lawyer is like legalized stealing.
So you were working as a lawyer?
I was suing people left and right. Then one day in 1969, I'm on a tennis court at USC and meet O.J. Simpson. From that point on, he became my entire life.
O.J. was your life?
I don't want to talk about it. But of course I will, because without O.J. I'd have no personal identity.
What was it about O.J. Simpson that appealed to you?
Hanging around O.J. was a lot of fun, and it got me girls. Mostly his skanky leftovers. People used to think I represented him. I really didn't, except that I paid off a few of his groupies.
So O.J. trusted you. What type of cases did you handle?
I filed strictly nuisance suits.
I read that one day you just decided to quit being a lawyer and go into the music business.
I used to go to the movies during the week. Sometimes I'd sit in a dark theater all day. O.J. would call me Pee-wee. Anyway, I hated the dead silence of the theater between movies, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to play music? So I formed a company called Movie Tunes and sold pre-recorded elevator music to theater chains.
Was it successful?
Do the words 30 million bucks mean anything to you?
Understood.
I also started a magazine called Radio and Records that I sold for a bunch of money to some Japanese idiot.
According to the LA Times, you and O.J. started a company called Juice Incorporated.
Yes, we sold frozen yogurt, mostly to all the potheads in California.
And then you got married.
That's the other thing I'm known for, marrying Chris, who I thought was the love of my life, but apparently not, because she couldn't keep her designer jeans up.
Do I sense a bit of resentment there?
Not at all. I've been dead for the last 14 years, so I've moved on. Plus, she's married to a queer.
Let's back up for a minute.
Karma bit her in the ass.
What went wrong, Robert?
I thought we were very happy. We had four children and lived in Beverly Hills, but I don't know. Chris was pulling a disappearing act on me, so I tried to follow her, but that didn't work. so I hired a private detective and he caught her cheating 3 times in 3 months. Years later, Chris said she knew she was being followed. She knew we were watching her, and she liked it, and even wondered if people who watched TV would tune in if they could.
Maybe you planted a seed in her mind to do a reality show someday.
No, the stable boy planted the seed, and it wasn't in her mind.
So you got divorced when you found out?
Well, we didn't exactly renew our vows.
Chris once said in an interview that you were a loyal, loving, wonderful husband and father, and an excellent role model.
I was so wonderful that she got plowed by at least a dozen guys during our marriage. You know, the high, hard one.
One-eyed trouser snake.
Exactly. But I agree with her. I am a wonderful guy.
Okay. Beth Herbst, a viewer from Delran, New Jersey, wants to know, how do you feel about Chris's marriage to Bruce Jenner?
That's a good question, Beth. You know, I was just talking about that with Johnny Cochran, and he said, life's a bitch, then you marry one.
You and Johnny hang out together?
I can't avoid the guy. He's buried about 100 feet away. There goes the neighborhood.
So Bruce, who is now Caitlin...
That's all bullshit. Bruce is a very jealous type and wanted to upstage my kid's TV show and figured if he said he was a woman, he'd get his own reality series and beat them in the ratings.
You think he's that jealous?
Come to think of it, maybe he is a woman. I think Debbie Reynolds did the same thing when her daughter died. Not so fast, she said.
Jeff Young, a viewer from Santa Cruz, California, writes, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, Mr. Kardashian graduated from Loyola Marymount Law School, then gave up his license to practice and went into the movie theater, music, and frozen yogurt business. How does that all lead to his becoming a member of the Dream Team?
It wasn't my idea, Jeff. I knew everything about my killer best friend, and Marcia Clark is no dummy. She would have called me as a witness, and if I didn't testify, they'd throw me in jail for contempt of court. I certainly didn't want an ass drilling like OJ got, but that's another story. So, Robert Shapiro told me to contact the California Bar Association and reactivate my license. Then he put me on the legal team as a volunteer. As his lawyer, I could not be made to testify against OJ. I got to sit next to him during the entire trial, but did absolutely nothing except smell his disgusting suit for 15 months.
OJ smelled?
Judge Ito kept OJ's 3 suits in his chambers and they'd choose one each day for him to wear, but they didn't clean them very often. So whenever we'd have to meet in chambers with the judge, the room smelled like a monkey house. One time, Johnny Cochran suggested a gag order for the lawyers to stop all the press frenzy, and Judge Ito said, I'm gagging right now.
Jennifer Bagnato, a fan from Beach Haven, New Jersey, asks, what was Marcia Clark really like?
She's a lesbian. No real shock there, right? But back then, she thought she was straight.
Getting to the famous low-speed car chase, which began at your house. According to numerous reports, while OJ waited to be arrested and charged with double murder, he stayed at your house in Sherman Oaks.
Correct. He was actually planning to kill himself and was staying in my daughter Chloe's room. I told him to go out back if he was going to blow his brains out. Al Cowlings and I were keeping an eye on him.
And then he took off?
Yes. He and Al took off and I got to read his bullshit farewell letter to the press. OJ was heading to Nicole's grave to pull a Romeo and Juliet, but the LAPD spotted him first.
Jill LeClaire, another fan, from Pompano Beach, Florida, asks, did you really help OJ Simpson dump the knife in bloody clothes?
Jill, while some people insist there's more to the story, my official account is that OJ tossed them in a trash dumpster behind a coffee shop on Melrose. They were gone before he got to LAX.
Edna Weiss from Chicago writes, what was in the Louis Vuitton bag?
That's the number one question I get asked, Edna. Just smelly clothes from his trip to Chicago.
Bob Rush in Dunkirk, New York wants to know, who's more feminine, Caitlyn Jenner or Marcia Clark?
First of all, forget about Caitlyn, okay? The guy's name is Bruce, which is already gay enough. And Bruce is much more feminine than Marcia. Not that the competition is all that stiff.
Caitlyn Jenner received a Courage Award in 2015 at the ESPY Awards in front of a worldwide audience, right?
Johnny Cochran and I watched it together and laughed our asses off. Johnny said, Any guy who could wear a Vera Wang gown on national television deserves an award for courage. What Bruce did took real balls.
Just recently, Caitlyn Jenner told Tucker Carlson on Fox that she wore a bra and panties under her clothes for decades and had a secret closet behind the regular bedroom closet that contained women's clothing and makeup.
Well, what do you know? I watched the same interview. Love it. He's so weird he had to come out of two closets.
And now Chris says that she fully supports Caitlyn.
Bullshit. Chris is livid and got exactly what she deserved. A husband who had a secret closet and wore a thong to special events. Plus, he used my daughter's makeup every day. I'll bet they were accusing each other of stealing the eyeshadow and lip gloss when really it was their stepfather.
During the same Fox interview, Bruce, now Caitlyn, promoted her new memoir, The Secrets of My Life.
What secrets? Is there anything we don't already know about Bruce the Loose Goose?
Well, for one thing, he claims he's a Republican who voted for Trump.
Bruce is a very conservative guy when it comes to sucking dick. Actually, I think he's now a lesbian. Well, so am I.
He also stated that he had gender confirmation surgery this past January.
Love that term. Like it's some church event. Who came up with this shit? Look, we all saw the Fox interview. Brucey looks like a man, talks like a man, acts like a man. He just had his dick chopped off. So basically, he turned into a Jewish husband.
I'm curious to know your thoughts about the sex tape that Kim made with rapper Ray J and how that may have affected your opinion of her.
First of all, it was no surprise. What people don't realize is that her mother also made a sex tape with Ray J titled, But You Can Call Me Ray.
How old are your children now?
No idea. Google it. They're getting up there.
I read in an article that your 5-year-old granddaughter, Northwest, has a $3,000 designer handbag.
I read the same article. Who knows? Maybe we should ask her what's in the bag.
Your grandfather, Tom, was in the garbage collection business. Did you ever work for him as a child?
On some weekends, I'd ride the back of the truck. This came in handy years later when I had to dump the knife in bloody clothes. Did I just say that?
David Sheehan, a loyal viewer from Marina Del Rey, California, writes, I understand that O.J. Simpson was an usher at your wedding.
Yes, David, and I was the best man when O.J. married Nicole. After he saw me get married, he thought he'd take a stab at it.
What effect did the trial of the century have on your family?
A very good one. It gave Chris the idea for doing reality TV. The press was always following us and she enjoyed it, just as she enjoyed being watched by my private detective.
In 2003, you died from throat cancer, only 6 weeks after being diagnosed. Were you scared when the doctor gave you the news?
I was somewhat scared and really found the whole thing hard to swallow. I immediately proposed to my girlfriend and married her a week later before telling her I was gonna die. Surprise!
Okay, here's an important question from Susan Tarrow in Ellicott City, Maryland. What are your thoughts on Fred Goldman?
Susan, thanks for watching. That's a real hot button with me. OJ calls him Fred Golddigger, and I agree. He's the kind of guy who will show up at a party and go through everybody's jackets in the closet, fishing for change. And what a crybaby. Fred hadn't seen his son in like 10 years, and now he weeps at the mention of his name. Boo-hoo, Freddy, with that stupid handlebar mustache. Like, lose that already. One day during the trial, Fred was in the hallway on his cell phone, arguing with the tile man over a kitchen counter. And he'll never refer to OJ by name. He just calls him the killer. You watching this, Freddy? OJ, OJ, OJ.
That bad, huh?
Let me put it this way. Everybody agrees with OJ that Fred Goldman should have been the one to return the glasses.
It's been widely published that Fred Goldman claims you have evidence that would have clearly convicted O.J.
Freddy Boy claims a lot of things, like he loved his son, which is bullshit. Anyway, he has no proof of that, and everything he says is false. But he's right. I hid tons of evidence, just nothing that Fred the douchebag knows about. Then I pretended to be appalled when O.J. was acquitted. But that's another story.
What did you think of David Schwimmer's performance in the recent O.J. Simpson's miniseries?
The guy actually took playing me seriously, so obviously I loved it. Great guy. I, Robert G. Kardashian, was the role of his lifetime. Thanks, David.
My sources tell me that you've got a new series in development as well. Can you share with our viewers a little bit about it?
Absolutely. It's called Keeping Up With This Kardashian, and I'm very excited about it. We'll do a mixture of segments that offer something for everybody. Relationship advice from Carl Jung, financial tips from J. Paul Getty, Armenian recipes from my grandmother, hummus, that sort of thing. A cross between Oprah and Ellen, except with much smarter guests.
What type of recipes?
We'll begin with Armenian flatbread with cheese, then move on to kashlama, which is a lamb dish cooked with meat and vegetables. That was my mom's specialty. And we'll do my dad's favorite, aris, which is wheat porridge with chicken.
You just made me hungry.
We'll also make you laugh. We have a segment in each show called What's in the Bag? What people don't realize is that there were actually two Louis Vuitton bags. The large garment bag you always see on the news contained OJ's dirty clothes. But the second, smaller bag, which belonged to Nicole, by the way, contained just one item, which is still there. So was Nicole.
What else is in here?
Jokes for my new show. I have the largest collection of O.J. Simpson jokes in the world. I've been collecting them since the trial.
Who is the dumbest person in America?
O.J.'s next girlfriend.
What are two things that O.J. has that every man wants?
A Heisman Trophy and a dead wife.
Oh, come on. Why did O.J.'s kids want to go live with their dad?
They knew they could get away with murder.
What were Ron Goldman's last words?
Say, aren't you O.J. Simpson?
What's the difference between Tang and O.J.?
Tang won't kill you.
What did Johnny Cochran say when he was accused of beating his wife?
Well, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know. Hey, I'll be here all week.
Yes, you will. I want to thank you for joining us today, Robert Kardashian, and we'll all keep an eye out for your new show.
You are quite welcome.
From Inglewood Memorial Park in Los Angeles, I'm Marty Krizwanis, and we will see you next time on Over My Dead Body.
You enjoyed the pilot episode of Over My Dead Body. The entire TV series is now available as a podcast in addition to streaming on Amazon Prime. After Robert Kardashian, we interviewed Nostradamus, Steve Jobs, Mae West, Richard Nixon, and Julia Child. Upcoming guests include Walter Cronkite, Mark Twain, Howard Cosell, Sigmund Freud, Tupac Shakur, Jimmy Stewart, and Albert Einstein. All told, we plan to produce 60 episodes, and perhaps as many as 300 of them. One thing's for certain, there's no shortage of interesting guests, and more seem to arrive every day. The executive producers of this episode are Stephen Craig Ariste and me, Stephen Kunis. The show was produced and directed by the great Marty Krizwanis, a gifted artist and friend who I met in the fourth grade over a half a century ago. Over My Dead Body was created and written by me, Stephen Kunis, and this episode was hosted by Marty Krizwanis. Robert Kardashian was portrayed by Shachna Kunis, which happens to be the name of my grandfather, as well as my stage name. Sound recording was provided by Casey Shoemaker, and the editing was done by Marty Krizwanis and Saeed Muhammad. The catchy theme music, both at the beginning and end of the show, was composed and performed by Marty Krizwanis. As you may have guessed, Marty is one talented guy. Very special thanks go to Norman Lear, my mentor and friend for almost 40 years, and to my old boss, Johnny Carson, for suggesting to me that a talk show with a fantasy wish list of guests would be a wonderful idea. Finally, the staff at PhillyCam in Philadelphia provided much-needed encouragement and expertise required to turn our TV series into a podcast, which will allow us to educate and entertain even more people.